I'm probably one of them, right? Don't we all do that? We're blessed people. And one little thing go wrong in our life, and we sit around like every dog we ever has dead. We sit around and mope and whine over little simple stuff. And that song's a good reminder. If you've got the King on your corner, you all right. You all right. You need to be thankful. We need to be blessed. We are a blessed people. And we need to start showing that blessing, because the world's looking for some happy people. The Lord's looking for some people that have joy in their heart. The world is. And we have it. So what are we showing? So I thank you for that song, Angel. That was a powerful song. And Merry Christmas again, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Happy birthday to my old man and one of my earthly heroes. What an example to me and to you as well. I've got a word. Actually, I'm going to confess. This is something I would tell you not to do, but this is a confession. Don't do as I do as I say. Okay? I was home this morning, and I was meditating, and I was praying, and I was seeking God. And as Dad says, I got in that throne zone where I was just, man, it was just pouring. And honestly, I forgot about church. I probably wasn't coming to church. Not because I don't like you guys. I just got one of those modes where God was pouring, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow. And about, I don't know, about 15 or 12, God started pouring and working a different way and said, I got a word for you. And so like Dad said earlier, I just got to do what I got to do. And so, you know, this is fresh. This is just, I don't know how this is going to go, except I'm trusting God, because I scribbled something about 10 minutes, put on my Johnny Cash shirt, and rolled in the door. So we're ready to roll. How's that go? All right. So I'm going to read some scripture. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 2. Now, don't get messed up. This is the same scripture I read last week. You're going to say, whoa, what's up? Is he lost his mind? Maybe. But I'm not preaching the same message. In fact, I read the same scripture in Mountain City at the Christmas party and preached a whole different message. So this is kind of interesting Christmas season. We're going to do three same scripture three times, three different messages. Would that be all right? So don't go to sleep on the message, on the reading the word. This is the most powerful part. So Luke 2, when you have it, stand up if you're able. Luke 2. You say, Christmas is over. No, Christmas ain't over. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I celebrate Christmas 365, 24/7. You know, I see, as this time of the year, back when I had my old life, when Christmas would be over, it'd be kind of like when the circus left town. If you've ever been to a fairground out of Wise or wherever you're from, and you see after the aftermath, or a big ball game, a race at the Bristol Racetrack or something, when you see when it's all gone, all that trash, and it's an empty, sad feeling because the circus is blown out of town. That used to be me at Christmas, because I'd look and the excitement was over and all that was over, and there are all these presents laying around, and what am I going to do? I got to go put them things up. You know, and it's like, you know, you're excited when you open them, but then you got to put them up. You got to throw away all that paper and that trash and that tree, all those ornaments. Oh, go back to work. I dread going back to work, right? Anybody feel that way sometimes? But let me tell you something. Christmas lives on in us. And so my question as I read this scripture is this to us. Christmas may be, the day we celebrate Christmas in America may be over, but what are we going to do with Christmas on December 27th? Everybody talks about Christmas December 24th, 23rd, 22nd, 21st, Black Friday on, we talk about Christmas. Nowadays at Walmart, I guess they talk about it on Halloween and forward. And before long, on July 4th, they're going to have Christmas stuff out at Walmart. In fact, there's stores in Gatlinburg, 365, you can go buy Christmas ornaments. I guess that's awesome. That's awful. That's all, you know, great, wonderful. But what do we do with Christmas on December 27th? So if you have your Bible, here we go. Luke 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Some of y'all need reassured today. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angels return to heaven, say, when the angels return to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. You may be seated. What a powerful scripture. You know, last week we talked about the song on Christmas. We talked about the song that the angel sang. But I want to focus on something else I think God wants us to see in this scripture of Christmas. Because I want to focus on what happened after Christmas. Because that's where we are. After Christmas, after an encounter with Jesus Christ, after coming to church, after you come seeking something and you have an encounter with God. I want to focus on the shepherds for just a minute. I think that's what God wants us to look at. Shepherds. Because, you know, shepherds are normal people like us. Shepherds aren't rich, powerful people. They're not celebrities. They're not on TV. They have no Ustream or simulcast or iPod or podcast or pay-per-view TV show. They're not on NBC, CBS. They're not on cable. They're not on HBO. They're not on Netflix. They're not covered on the news. They're just normal people like me and you. Just guys getting up and going to work. Regular people. Living a regular life. A monotonous life maybe, right? I mean, being a shepherd is probably monotonous. Of course, we all are monotonous in a way. But being a shepherd is probably pretty monotonous. You get up every day. You go to the field. Take care of sheep. You're around dirty sheep. You hear this sound all day long. Bah. You clean up a lot of sheep mess all day long. You smell a lot of sheep all day long. In fact, you smell like sheep if you're a shepherd. Right? It's not an easy job. It's a dirty job. It's a hard job. It's a monotonous job. These are regular Joes. Like us. In a rural place. Not a big city, not a big palace, not the New York City Manhattan skyline, not the bright lights big city, just a regular place, a rural place, country, shepherds, pastures, fields. I think of like Russell County or Scott County when you see those fields. Really Russell County because you see those rocks, kind of reminds you of Ireland, you guys know what I'm talking about. And you see those rocks peeking out and it reminds you of those sheep. That's what I think of. So these guys had an opportunity. Angels came to them, and you know the story, told them that the greatest news that's ever been happened, the thing that everybody's been waiting for all these years, 400 years of silence, thousands of years of prophecy, everybody's been waiting for a plan, that God had a plan to restore relationship with his people, that God was going to come save his people, that God was going to set up a kingdom on earth, and people were waiting for this, waiting for this, waiting for this. And Jesus picked a very peculiar way to announce the arrival of this kingdom. He just went to regular people like you and me and said, I want you to be the ones to come see. He didn't go to the kings. We did have some royal people that came from afar off later. But he didn't go in the middle of Jerusalem and get all the kings. He didn't go to Rome, the greatest power on earth, and say, Caesar, come see. Went to regular people like you and me and chose them to announce the greatest news that human history had ever had. The time in history when all the world would change from this point forward. That human history would now be divided. Even our time, even our calendar is divided from the moment this baby was born. You think about it. Your calendar was made up of the day this baby was born. And who was it that was chosen to go show up and witness this event? Normal, regular people. So a very powerful story. And we talked about it maybe a little bit inside the walls, not here, but the other thing is they had a role to play in this too. Because how many times are we given the opportunity to go see special things, powerful things, that we have destiny, we have purpose, we're called to do certain things, we have an opportunity to do certain things bigger, better than what our monotonous lives look like. Not that being a shepherd's a bad thing, not that being a lawyer's a bad thing, not that being a coal miner's a bad thing, not that being a teacher, doctor's a bad thing, not that being a housewife's a bad thing, they're great things. But they had the opportunity to chase destiny. The idea that inside each and every one of us, those things are tools, those things are fine, those things are good things. But that there's something more deep down in there that you are called to be about, to touch people. And they had that opportunity. Now here's the thing for me. You know, they were told to go see a baby. Now they weren't told to go see a conquering army. They're going to go whack off heads and Rome, man. They're going to go take their swords and they're killing Caesar right now. You guys go down there and see this army overthrow Rome. No. They were told, go see a baby. So I think those shepherds had an interesting choice. Even though they saw something pretty crazy, pretty radical, pretty terrifying according to the Word of God. I would say an army of angels showing up singing would scare me too, right? At first. It was a pretty radical thing. But they had a choice to make in this matter. They could have said, you know what, I don't know about this baby. We got work to do. It's busy. I got to pay the bills. Little lady needs a new camel. And we got stuff to do, man. We got stuff to do. I ain't got time to leave my job, lose my paycheck. I might lose my job, man. If I deserve my job, I might lose my job. I don't have time to lose my job over a baby, man. Let's let the baby grow up and see how it plays out. Maybe I'll go then. Let's let that church get built, really get going, then maybe I'll go then. Let's let something good happen, then maybe I'll go then. No, they had to go see it when it was just a little baby. Some people got to see it before it's grown up. Some people got to see it before it's established. You got to see it now, friend, if you really want to get it. So here's the question, before we really get into the question. What about these guys? What was inside them? They said, you know what? There's bound to be more than light to life. Clean up sheep mess. I gotta watch when I say that. That's kind of a tongue twister. I don't want to mess up. I promise you, Lord, I don't want to mess up. On you stream of all things. There's got to be more than life than this. There was something inside those guys that was hungry for more. That enabled them to have the response necessary to leave their routine, leave what they're comfortable with, and leave everything behind to go see a baby. A small thing, it's just a baby. We know now it was Jesus. We know now what happened. We know now he got up from the grave. We know now that he healed the blinded eyes, that he raised the dead. But at that moment in time, they couldn't have seen all that. It was just a baby. Maybe that's the problem with some of us. We don't go see the baby because it's just a baby. We're looking for something else. We're looking for miraculous. We're looking for the big building already built. We're looking for everything to be easy and handed to us on a silver platter. Let me just roll in and see a miracle. But how can we see the miracle? We can't see the baby. There's something inside those shepherds that let them to go. Leave their monotony, leave their routine, and go see the baby. But here's what I really want to focus on. Because I said we're focusing on what's next after Christmas. What will we do with Christmas? What will we do with Jesus? What will we do with this man Christ? What will you do with this man Jesus? What will we do with this holiday season? What will we do with this purpose in our life? What will we do with this calling? What will we do with this encounter we have with God today? Because God's here today, and so you're encountering God today. What will you do with it? The shepherds went to see the baby. And it was just as the angels had said. There was a baby. And it says they worshiped, they glorified, they worshiped. And after they saw him, they left. Just like us. We put up the tree. Some people wait for Easter. Be back, Lord, and see you in Easter. We put up the tree. We put up the packages. And we leave this encounter with Christ. And that's what the shepherds did. But here's what I want you to pay attention to. They didn't just leave and go back to being a shepherd. Now, they may have. They did go back to their flocks. We all have jobs. We all got stuff we got to do. Got to do what we got to do. But when they left differently than when they came. Do you catch me? They left differently than when they came. First of all, what did they do? Well, they went and started telling some people about it. They were spreading the news, the good news. This is good news. This is what we've been waiting for. And it says that they went and told all. The shepherds told everyone, not just some people, not just when it was convenient, not just when it didn't ruin their street cred, not just when it didn't make them look cool, not just when it wasn't convenient for their job, not just when it wasn't politically correct, but they told everyone the Word of God says. Everyone. What they had seen and what had happened and what the angel had said, and all who heard the story were astonished. There's a world out there that's looking to get their socks knocked off. There's a world out there looking to be astonished. There's a world out there looking to be encouraged. There's a world out there looking for good news. And they're waiting for some shepherds who've been in contact with Jesus to tell them about it. It's not about Billy Graham. God bless his soul, Billy Graham. Not about Charles Stanley. It's not about Damon Thompson. It's not about whatever preacher you... It's not about Jeff Reynolds. It's not about whoever you want to say. The shepherds went off to their fields and they told everyone about what Jesus had done in their life. And all who heard were astonished. That's a powerful statement, because there's so many people out there who want to be astonished. There's so many people. There was an old 80s hair band that sang a song. Josh probably know it. Just looking for something to believe in. Who was that, Josh? Who? Poison. You all, I'm going to pray for you all. Y'all shouldn't know that. Listen to that old devil music. Yeah, we'll get to that. That's how I'm used to Mountain City. We can roll like that. That's how we preach in Mountain City. We just roll. We go around the room. We roll off each other. That's all right. He'll mess me up. Holy Spirit's in charge anyway. He might just do a tag team today. That's good. So then we go to the next verse. Mary kept these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. But listen to this. The shepherds went back to their flocks. Told you, they went back to work. But they didn't go back the same way they came. They went back glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising God. They had a God encounter. They had a brush up against Jesus. They saw hope. They saw destiny. They saw this thing. No, it wasn't grown up yet. No, it wasn't mature yet. No, it hadn't all happened yet. No, the resurrection hadn't happened yet. No, they hadn't been called to heaven yet. All they saw was a glimmer of hope. But that little glimmer of hope, their response led them to go back glorifying and praising God. Some of us don't praise God because we're waiting to see the finished product. Some of us aren't praising God because it's just a baby. Some of us aren't praising God because we want to see it all work out before we give Him any praise. If you can't praise the baby, then you can't praise the resurrected King, because you got to see the hope. That's why the world isn't changing. That's why people aren't being astonished, because nobody's praising the hope. Nobody's praising the seed. Nobody's praising the promise. Nobody's praising the baby. We're all waiting for the finished project. And faith is seeing the baby and realizing where it's going to be, that it's going to grow up. Faith, where's your nut? I'm not talking about Regan. That's twice as, you've been called nut two Sundays in a row. It's about seeing the acorn, as Dad has done so many places and so many, you wouldn't believe where he's whipped that nut out. He's took that acorn out. He's took that acorn out in some pretty big rooms. And I did one time too. Tuxedo rooms and all this stuff. And he don't care. He's just same old Dad. That's what I love about him. Pull out that acorn and say, what do you see? How many in here has he done that to you? Faith is about seeing the acorn, not as the acorn, but about seeing the acorn as the oak tree. Faith is about seeing the baby, not as a baby, but as a risen king. And so the world's not being astonished because we got a bunch of Christians running around with their heads bent down because every little problem in the world, because they don't see the risen king. The baby just isn't impressive enough. The promise just must not be impressive enough for some of us. The hope, the destiny, the purpose just must not be impressive enough. The word that God has poured into our heart and our soul and promised us must just not be impressive enough for some of us. But those shepherds saw that baby and they changed their world, because all that heard the story were astonished. So I think, well, what's the difference between people that come in contact with purpose, with destiny, with Jesus? And we're in a Jesus culture here in this southern America, southern United States. There's a lot of places not like this. But, you know, really honest, you go around, almost everybody here says, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And I don't know what that means necessarily, because we've clouded the water. I guess the question is, are you following Jesus Christ? That's the question. Is your life about Jesus Christ? Is that the question? There really weren't. Jesus really never did an altar call per se. He just asked people to follow him and live like he lived. So maybe that's the way we should ask the question. Because everybody wants to say, yeah, I was baptized at 15. Yeah, I said a prayer. Are you following Jesus Christ? Because that's what he called us to do. He gave us a commission. So I look at some people in the Bible, and I know the time, I won't be long, I don't believe the Holy Spirit's in charge. We don't have any plan to be long. I look at some people in the Bible that had God encounters like those shepherds. And I wonder why some people left and changed the world, like the shepherds. And I wonder why some people just had an encounter and walked away. In other words, some people left Christmas and changed the world. And some people leave Christmas and they put all the wrapping paper up and they put down their tree and they go back to living a life. A boring, monotonous, depressed life. Without purpose, without destiny. For some people, it was just a baby. And for some, they saw a risen king. For some, they saw, I like to quote, I've said it many times, Walt Disney. They said, you know, Walt Disney had this great envision of Disney World. And it was this big thing for him to make this Disney World. But he died before it opened. Did you know that? And so when they dedicated Disney World, somebody got up and, you know, they did the dedication ceremony and they gave a big speech and they said, boy, isn't it a shame that old Walt didn't get to see this. And one of his closest friends over there turned around, it's what me and Regan were talking about yesterday, and said he did see it. He did see it. Vision's about seeing it. Faith's about holding on to it, and persistence is about finishing it. You got to have all three. You got to have the vision to see where this thing's going. You have to have the faith to believe in it, and you have to have the persistence to get through it. So I look at three people, real quick, in the Bible, maybe three, maybe four. Three groups of people, maybe two, I don't know. One were Pharisees. They were the religious folk. They had lots of encounters with Jesus. They had a lot more encounters with Jesus than the shepherds did. And they saw a grown Jesus. They saw a Jesus that was going around healing people. They saw miracles. All the shepherds got to do was see a crying baby, and they had faith. But these Pharisees saw more. They saw a man walking around in their midst, healing withered hands. They saw a man raising dead people. They saw a man opening blinded eyes. They had plenty of opportunities to see Jesus. They followed him around trying to trip him up. They heard him teach. They heard him preach. They saw that he knew the scriptures. They had lots of encounters with Jesus. So why, since they were bumping up against him and touching him and listening to him and seeing it, why did they always leave the same? He did challenge their powers. They couldn't control them, could they? A lot of people in the world don't like things they can't control. They can't give up control. I admit, in my flesh, that's kind of a thing of me. I like to control my environment. I like to be in control. And when I'm out of control, it scares me. And that was maybe these guys. They liked their gig. They liked their game. They wanted to control the game. They wanted to control religion. They wanted to have their power. They made up all kinds of lies and attacks to try to discredit him. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a drunk. They said he hung out with immoral women. In fact, there's still theories and writings that say he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. If people aren't talking about you, friend, if the church isn't talking about you, if religion isn't talking about you, if people aren't talking about you, then maybe you're not living like Jesus, because they always talked about Jesus. They always tore Jesus down, because people who are threatened try to tear you down. People who are threatened by what you're doing are going to try to tear you down. So if you hear the talk, Paul says, blessed if I'm persecuted for him. If you hear the talk, then you say, yes, God, thank you for letting me be like Jesus. You got to do what you got to do. So they tried to tear him down. They wanted to kill him. They hunted him. They had many opportunities to see Jesus and encounter Jesus, but they never changed. Most never change. How about Judas, one of the 12 chosen, around Jesus all the time, sat by campfires with Jesus? He saw a lot more than a little baby. He heard the plan. He saw all the miracles. He saw him walk on water. He saw the waves and the storms calmed. He saw dead people get out of the dirt. He was close to him. He sat by the fire. He sat by the last dinner with him. He was one of his friends. Jesus, I'll be there at the end. He answered the call. He gave up his job. He went after Jesus. But in the end, he left the same or worse than when he encountered. Christmas was over, but he didn't change. I wonder why. Is it greed? Or maybe was it just that Jesus' plan didn't sound like Judas' plan? Maybe it's that Jesus' plan don't sound like my plan. What about this man caused him to give up being one of the judges in heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to give up being there when Jesus was resurrected, when Jesus ascended, to be there when the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, to be there as they went around the world and people tried to get in Peter's shadow, and James and John, just to get healed by the shadow. The glory of God was so powerful on them. I wonder what about a few pieces of money that man gave it all up for that. And I think it had to be he didn't see the end product. He didn't have maybe he saw it at one time. But maybe at one point he gave up and said, you know what, it's just a baby. He lost his sight of the risen King. He lost his sight of the purpose and destiny that God had for him. a sad story. He had it all. He was chosen. He was a disciple. And he didn't even have the faith or the vision of a bunch of dirty, smelly shepherds who saw a baby. Sad. I think of the rich young ruler, Mark 10, 17 through 22. It says, I'll read it. It says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. You know, you all see me preach this message. I'm not going to preach it, but I want to touch on it. He knelt down. He ran to Jesus, and he knelt down, and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone, honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these since I was young. And looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He had a God encounter. This dude had an encounter with a living, breathing, fully grown Jesus who loved him, who looked at him with love. And he said, there's still one thing you haven't done. Go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then listen to this. He gave him an invitation. He didn't give everybody this invitation. He does spiritually. He didn't say, go back to your fields. He said, now you come follow me. You come on the inside. I want you to be there when the waters come. I want you to be there when Lazarus gets out of the grave, boy. I want you to see the things that no man's ever seen. I want you to hear the words that no other man's ever spake. I want you to see those things personally with your own eyes. I got love for you. There's something special inside you, boy, and I see it. There's something about your destiny, boy, I see it. Come. So what did he do? The shepherds, we know what they did. But the Word of God says this. At this, the man's face fell. It's like a lot of Christians this time of year. I'm not making fun of anybody. This is a very serious subject, and I mean that. But we're missing the point of it. People's heads bow. Mama died on Christmas. I'm sorry. I know you love your mama. And I pray to God she's with Jesus, and if you can see her one day. But it's about him. And I know I keep pointing at this tree, but there's usually a cross right here. It messes with me. You guys can't move the cross. I've preached up here for a lot of years, and the cross is always right here. And I keep pointing at this daggone Christmas tree. This is the cross. Two trees. He went away sad. The greatest invitation. Why would you have to go away sad? Listen, God is here in this building. You have purpose in you. You have destiny in you. If you go away sad, ladies and gentlemen, that's on you. That's on you. You could be like the shepherd, and you can walk away praising God and telling everybody and astonishing the world, or you could hang your head and walk away sad because life ain't going like you want. Because you don't see it all right now. Because it ain't happening right now. We're used to a microwave generation. Push the popcorn button. 30 seconds, I got popcorn. If it takes me 90 seconds in line at McDonald's, it's awful. It's the worst thing in the world. I'm going to get online and put discredit them. I'm going to put a complaint against them. 90 seconds of my life for food. It's crazy. I want mine now. I want everything now. I don't want for this baby to have to grow up. I don't want to have to wait 30-some years. I don't want to have to wait 3.5 years of ministry. I don't want to have to wait for anything. I want it now. And I'm going to lay on the floor and throw a temper tantrum if I don't get everything I want right now. Wah, wah, wah. Makes me want to throat punch somebody. Sometimes it makes me want to throat punch myself. Right? Because you ain't the only one throwing tantrums every once in a while. The guy wouldn't give up his life for God's plans, his ideas, his whatever he valued. And we talk about possessions, and in this case, I guess that's the tangible demonstration. But But what in our lives is it that we're not giving up, that we can't go away like these shepherds and just give him glory and tell everybody about it and praise and glorify God and leaving Christmas changed, leaving these church services changed, leaving our encounters with God changed? Why do we got to go away from church services, go away from Christmas, go away from God encounters, go away from purpose and destiny and wise counsel, and we walk away with our head down all the time? Are we a shepherd or are we a rich young ruler? Are we a shepherd or are we a Judas? Are we a shepherd or are we a Pharisee? Judgmental. Jesus threatened everything the Pharisees knew about their traditions and their little customs and what mama told me and what grandmama told me. He challenged all that. You need to be challenged. We need to be challenged. If you want to get to Jesus. So that's the question. It's Christmas. What are we going to do with it? I think the key is response, don't you? All these people had God encounters. All these, and actually the shepherds had the worst case of it because they only got to see a glimpse. But that glimpse was enough for them. And all these other people saw much more, but they didn't have the faith or the persistence to see it through. I think about one other person in the Bible that tells you how much it's about response sometimes. Sometimes we think, you know, if I could just go hear this preacher, if I could just go to a Benny Hinn crusade, man, maybe then I'd get it. And you see that lots of places, people are looking for one piece of wisdom or one piece of scripture or one person that will just make everything make sense for them. But you know what? It's all about you and your response, because God is here. You're going to get what you're going to get. You're going to do what you got to do. I think about a woman. And I think about Jesus. Come here, Odie. You're my Jesus. I bet Jesus didn't have a camo hat, did he? But you have the beard. Stand right here. I don't normally do this. Dad's much better at this kind of thing. Come here, Kathy. Right over here. Come here, Regan. Come here, Rick. Come here, Dakota. Surround Jesus. Because let me tell you something, by the point of this message, by the point of this last demonstration, stay with me. I've got one more demonstration, one more person that I've preached on many times. By the point of this thing, Jesus was like a rock star. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. What I mean by that was he was famous. He was starting to have fame. He was starting to walk into cities and they heard about his healings. And so it was like, you know, a celebrity coming to town. When Jesus came, there was crowds trying to get to him, all reaching for him. Jesus! Jesus! Right? I mean, if Justin Bieber walked in here right now, some of you young girls, some of you young guys, I saw your face. That's some of these old ones. Little beep, what do you call those things? Bieber fever? But you know what? Stay with me. But when a celebrity comes to town, if you go to a ball game, or if you go to a rock concert, or a country music concert, or even a Christian music concert, right? They walk through the crowd and, oh, touch my hand. Oh, and they're bumping and it's chaos. They got to have security to get people through, right? So the disciples were trying to get Jesus through this crowd and people were bumping up against him, all over him, touching him, hitting him, smacking up against him. You can imagine the story. Can you see it in your mind? Here comes Jesus. He's getting famous. He's healed people. He's giving people hope. And the population, the general people, the poor people really loved him, and he got to be popular. And they would follow him, trying to get a piece of Jesus. Lots of people, listen to this, touching him. You hear me when I say it? You're all having a God encounter today. Lots of people touched him as he went through that crowd. Thousands of people, no doubt, touching him. One little woman, Mark 5. One little woman, Mark 5, 24 to 34 to be exact. One little sick woman who'd been bleeding, weak and sick, who wasn't even supposed to be there. It violated religious law. It violated custom. It was shocking. She wasn't supposed to be there in that crowd. And she fought her way. Get around him. Get all on him. And she... No, not like you're not praying for him. You're bumping up against him. It's a crowd. It's a crowd. It's a mosh pit. I know Rick's never been in a mosh pit, but I bet Odie has. And maybe I have, but I'll not admit or deny that. All right, come over here. So this little girl, she's a lady, a woman, comes through, and 1,000 people touch him. He don't have a garment, but you can get his jeans. The edge of it. Just touch it. Just touch the edge of his jean. Touch it. She got, stop. Stay right there. No, don't lose this. This is serious. This is serious. Don't lose it. Jesus does something really remarkable right here. He says, somebody touched me. Did you hear what I said? He said, I just felt something come out of me. He said, somebody touched me. And the disciple said, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah! Right? Jesus? 1,000 people are touching you. Right? What do you mean somebody touched you? Can't you see them trying to figure him out sometimes? Like me. Just like me. That's how we still are. Sometimes just trying to figure him out instead of just listening to him. I'm the world's worst. Let me figure everything out in my computer mind. Instead of just listening. What do you mean, Jesus? Somebody touched me. There's 1,000 people bumping up against you. Of course, somebody touched you. But basically, Jesus said, No. Somebody touched me a little differently. Somebody, when they touched me, were desperate. Somebody, when they touched me, were passionate. Somebody, when they touched me, expected to get something when they touched me. Somebody that touched me wanted to leave here differently than when they came. Somebody that touched me wasn't just here for a show or an obligation. Somebody, when they touched me, wasn't here just to discredit me or slam me or tear me down. Somebody, when they touched me, weren't trying to be all cool and proud and about themselves, but somebody really touched me. There was something in this little girl's response. Everybody touched him. You're all encountering Jesus Christ today. Everybody's got the same opportunity. He's bumping through these aisles and he's bumping up against people. You are touching him today. But are you really touching him? Are you really touching him? What's in our hearts? We can tell if we really touched him by what happens when we get up. Because Jesus said, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd. How can you ask who touched me? I mean, that's a little bit disrespectful, right? Sound a little bit of Jesus. It's a little bit of smart aleck, which is Jesus. Look at this crowd. What do you mean? How can you ask? How can you ask that, God? How can you ask that? And he kept looking around and he saw a frightened woman trembling at the realization of what happened to her. And she fell at her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And I can almost see the crowd. I can almost see the disciples backing up for a minute because this was scandalous. This was scandalous. This was, should not have happened. This was scandalous. Oh, you shouldn't be around this. Oh, people talk about you if you do this. You got to do what you got to do. And he said this, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Remember the angel song? Peace on earth. Go in peace. Go in peace. Listen to this. This is for somebody. This is your word right here. This is your word right here. Your suffering is over. This is for somebody right here. Your suffering is over. Lots of people touched him. In 3.5 years of ministry and 30 some years on earth, a lot of people touched him. Thank you, guys. Give him a hand. Lots of people touched him, but there's something different in the response of some people. If you're looking for me to cast down fire at this place, or I'm just a guy preaching in a word from God, the key for how you leave this place is, what will your response be? What will you do with this touch? What are you looking for today? What are you expecting today? What is your response to the word? Because this word's true. Every bit of this word has been straight from this Bible. And my dialect is American, and it's not Aramaic. I'm sorry. I would preach Aramaic if I could, but you couldn't understand it, so it wouldn't matter. But this is the word of God. This is your question. How is your response to Christmas? What is your response to hope? What is your response to Jesus? What is your response to life and its problems? What is your response to situations that will occur? What is your response to a destiny? What is your response to a calling? What is your response to an opportunity? What is your response to this word? This Christmas, how will you leave this Christmas? This service, December 27, 2015, how will you leave today? So I think about one more story. I don't need an actor or actress. It's Luke 17, 11 through 19. Very famous scripture. About, and I know I'm all over the place today, but again, I told you, this just poured in about 10 minutes before I rolled in. Think about 10 lepers, right? I'm going to read it, and that's how we're going to park the bus. It's time to stop. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These were sick people. This is like a death sentence. If you know leprosy at that time or even now where it exists, parts of their fingers and bodies and nose and would rot away as they died. This is a desperate situation. These are desperate people. How many of you feel desperate? How many of you got problems? How many feel like things are rotting off of you sometimes? How many feel like you're hopeless sometimes? How many feel sick sometimes? How many feel discouraged sometimes? How many people feel down sometimes? How many people feel desperate in this place? These were 10 desperate men. Desperate men. Their situation was urgent. It's like when you get that call at 2 a.m. and mama's on life support. You really get some desperate calls at that time. When you want somebody to drive a bus, people ain't so desperate. I got stuff to do. But at 3 o'clock in the morning when mama's on life support, everybody wants to call the preacher. Why? Because we're desperate. And that's okay sometimes, because we find God in desperate situations. I'm not beating you up. That's how I found God. But it's true, right? And so these men were desperate, 10 people in a very desperate situation. Mercy on us, God. Help me, God. Jesus should not have been there. Again, another scandalous situation that Jesus found himself in. But he said this. He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So in other words, they had to leave before they saw the finished product. He didn't heal them first, didn't say, "Get on out of here." He said, "You go." They had to see the baby. So all 10 of them went initially. They were desperate enough to go initially. They were desperate enough to go initially. Sometimes that's what happens in an altar call. People are desperate enough initially. They're in a bad situation, man. I'm crying. My life's upside down. My marriage is apart. My kids are a mess. I got a death sentence. I got things. I'm facing jail time. I got all this stuff. And they come to the altar seeking God because we're desperate. And that's how I came. Desperate. Nothing wrong with that. But listen to this. This is the part about it. Response. One of them when he saw he was healed. One of them after Christmas came back. Nine of them went on with their lives. But one of them said, this is not a normal Christmas. This is not a normal service. This is not just another day. One of them came back to Jesus shouting like a shepherd. Praise God, he said. One of them came back and said, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he did. Thank you, Jesus, for my blessings. We got enough people moping about the fact they had to go through leprosy. I want some people to praise God for their blessings. We all got problems. We all got situations. We all got stuff. But praise him because you are a blessed people. You have breath in your lungs. You have a roof over your head. You have a destiny. You are loved. You are bought. You are paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Only one of the 10 responded to Christmas. And this man wasn't even one of God's chosen. Woo, he was a Samaritan. He was the wrong dude for this. He was just an old, smelly inmate, drug addict, washed up, ex-rock and roll. Loser. Depressed. Workaholic. Mean. Gossipy. Right? He was a Samaritan. And yet, he was the one that came back and thanked Jesus and said, you know what? This encounter I had with this baby, I see the risen King. And it's changed my life. And I'm going to give you thanks. And I'm going to give you glory. And those other nine can walk away moping all the time, not changing the world and pulling people down and wearing people out and dragging people down and discouraging people and always moping and always whining and always something wrong. I'm tired of those people in my life. I will encourage you and I will pray for you. But the people in my inner circle are going to be people who are positive. That's a fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack. I'm tired of people tearing people down and gossiping and bringing negativity. I'm tired of that junk. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Satan. I'm tired of that junk. If you are having a bad day, you call me and I'll pray for you. That's okay. But I'm looking for 12. Woo! I'm looking for something to go into the gates of hell and storm it and change the world. And we need some people who have some upbeat positivity that know that they are thankful for what Jesus is doing in their life. And don't tell me I'll be there, preacher, when I see it. If you can't see it as a baby, you won't see it as a king. You gotta see it now, man. You gotta see it now, woman. And you gotta act like it. So the one came back. I'm a little excited, I'm sorry. But Jesus asked this question. And I wonder how many times he asked this question about you and me. Let's get personal. We're finishing. The bus is parked. I wonder how many times he asked this question about you and me. Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give God glory except for this one foreigner? Haven't I blessed you? Aren't you blessed? Are you alive? Put your hand over your heart. You got breath? Are you starving to death? Is there civil war in your home like some of our friends? Are your family being massacred every night by raiders and in villages? Did you know if you're in this country, even if you're on the street, living in a shelter, you are among the richest 97 percentile in the world? Do you realize that? Are you in a funeral home today? Some of us will be later. Are you in a funeral home today? Do you have a hopeless death sentence that you can never get to heaven, that you're just damned? No. You're not cursed. You're not damned. You're blessed. You're blessed. Satan has been damned. He has been cursed. He has his eternity set for him and all of his minions. We have been blessed. So I wonder how many times as we walk around our life with our heads drawn, moping, dragging people down, being a discredit to Jesus Christ. Are we like those 9 of 10 who aren't thankful for our Christmas? Who aren't thankful for Christmas 365, not just December 27th? Who aren't thankful for Easter 365, not just April, whenever? So he looked at the one and he said this. He said, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. I kind of look at that old boy like a shepherd. He's just a Samaritan. He's just a foreigner. That's what the Word of God uses. I'm not using a bad term. That's just what they use in this translation. He's the wrong kind of dude for this. But he left that encounter with God a changed man. And his actions, we all say stuff. Talk is cheap. I hear so much talk. But his actions demonstrated that change. So the question is, we finish the services, and I didn't get up here late, so it's not too bad, I hope. We're finished. Is what's your response this Christmas? What's your response this service to this word? What's your response to this God encounter? What's this response to this opportunity you've been given? This is an opportunity, friend. If you're here out of obligation, you're missing the boat. This is an opportunity today to leave here differently, to leave here like those shepherds, praising God, thanking God, telling everybody what Jesus has done for you, and astonishing your world. What's your response? Every head bowed, please. Thank you so much. Nobody looking around. Here's my question. How many want to respond differently this Christmas? How many want more? How many want to walk out of here differently? How many want that? I want you to see your hands. Nobody's looking. I see your hands. Put them up. How many want the difference this Christmas to be different? How many does not want this just to be a regular word, a regular service, just an ordinary day? You want to be thankful. How many want to be more thankful for the blessings that Jesus gives you? Let me see your hands up. I know we're not all that thankful. I see your hands. That you want to be more thankful. That you want to be more positive to this world. That you want to demonstrate what God's done to you. You want to be a witness in the land. You want to tell people about Jesus. You want to see a difference in your home. You want to let Him know how thankful you are. If that's you, raise your hand. Keep them up. And if you get tired, just we'll change hands. God loves you. He's not asking you to give up this or that. He loves you just as you are. He'll take care of that. You'll work all that out later. He'll work all that out later. He's got one question for you. How will you leave here? Follow Him. Leave here happy. You don't have to leave here the same way you came, man. I don't have to leave here the same way I came. I don't plan on it. When I count to three, I want everybody to stand. And everybody who raised their hand, I want us to come and just pray together. We're not going to do anything crazy, tricky, weird. We're just going to pray together because we're going to give God the glory. We're going to come and kneel in thankfulness like those lepers, like that one leper. In fact, I'm going to do that. I did that in the prison on Christmas night. I had the men kneel. Those who are able, we're going to kneel. If you can't, if you don't have your bad knees, that's fine. God knows your heart. But we're just going to come around this altar and kneel symbolically at His feet and say, we are thankful. And we're going to leave here differently than when we came. And we're going to be blessed people. And we're going to show the world how blessed we are. And we're going to be thankful people. And God's going to do something differently in us today. And we're not leaving here the same way. Are you ready? When I count to three, hands up, keep them up. Don't put your hands down. Some of you put your hands down. Put them up. One. I'm going fast now. I'm going fast. You don't have to hold them up long. Two. Come on, this next number. Everybody stand and come. Three, three, three. Go, 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 go. Move, move. Come and fall on his feet. Fall on his feet and say, Jesus, I'm thankful. I'm a blessed person. I'm blessed beyond belief. Oh, thank you, God, for all your blessings. Just keep coming. Oh, this will not be a normal Christmas. I'm going to leave here differently than when I came. Everything's going to be different. Everything's different in my heart. I want to make you first, Lord. I want to be positive. I want to change my community. I want to see purpose in my life. I want to see destiny in my life. He's not asking you to do something crazy. He's just asking you to give him a chance. He's just asking you to be thankful for your blessings. He's just asking you to praise him. Hallelujah. If you're in back there and you don't need to come pray, you don't feel like giving him your praise or blessings today, come and pray with somebody else, because there's people up here, friends. They don't need to be praying alone. Nobody needs to be praying alone in a church of believers. Come on, friends. Nobody needs to be praying alone in a church full of God's people. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Forgive me for when I get down and out over stupid, silly things. Not keeping, taking my eyes off of you. Not seeing the finished product sometimes. Getting discouraged over murmurs and problems. Lord, forgive me for that. Because I got to do what I got to do. And I thank you, Lord. You have blessed me. You have blessed me beyond measure. I'm a blessed man. Oh, let me be more thankful, Lord. Let me be more thankful, God. Let my life show thankfulness. Oh, Lord, we've got enough fair weather friends blowing like the wind. Thank you for faithful, oh, supporters and friends, Lord, that'll be there to the end. Hallelujah. Show you all something just happened. It made me think of Kathy and that drama little presentation. This little fella right here, everybody knows him. He's a handful sometimes. He literally crawled up this altar, left his mama. You say, well, that's just kids being, maybe so. But I believe this little baby was just showing some grown-ups what Jesus meant when he said, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you'd be like one of these. Because while we're back there not showing our thankfulness, or me too, this little baby said, I'm going to crawl to the front. I think God used him today, don't you?